Hey guys, there is somebody I want to introduce you to and let you hear her story. This is Tori Hillis, and she has gotten to share her story a couple of times this summer at some Next Gen events, and we wanted our Sunday morning crowd to get to hear from her also. So I'm just going to turn you loose. Will you tell us a little bit about your journey to faith in Jesus?
Yeah, so I grew up in a family that didn't really go to church a lot. Faith really wasn't a big part of my life. I didn't really know who God was. I just kind of knew that I believed in him. Well, my sister had came to know God that summer at camp, and she really wanted the same for my twin sister, Cassie, and I. So she kind of just invited us to do Bible studies with her that summer, and through those Bible studies, I really was just able to learn about who God was, and I just kind of kept growing this desire in me to keep learning. But then my seventh grade year rolled around, and 2 weeks into that seventh grade year, my house was flooded by Hurricane Harvey. And so all of that attention I was kind of putting towards learning about God kind of changed, and it kind of shifted into attention of what were we going to do now and how was I going to keep going to school whenever we didn't have a house, or I was sharing a room with two of my other sisters. It was just very stressful, and it didn't really leave me a lot of time to worry about my relationship with God. But so I kind of put that on a halt, and then in November of that year, my sister gave birth to my niece, Kinsley, and she was just kind of what my world turned into. She was what it revolved around after that, and that's just kind of where all my attention went. And it didn't matter that I was having to share a room with my sisters, that we were living in the upstairs of my house, and that all we had was a microwave. You know, it didn't matter. It just mattered that I had Kinsley and that I was going to be the best niece I could be for, or best aunt that I could be for her. And then 3 months later, when she was 3 months old, she passed away in her sleep. And that was very, very difficult for me to deal with. I'd never dealt with anything that hard in my life. And a week after that happened, I hadn't been to school. I hadn't talked to anybody. I was just kind of in this moment of darkness and grief. And my two small group leaders showed up for me and my sister, and they helped us get back to small group. And that next small group is just where I really discovered the community that Jesus led me to and just how much I needed that, especially in that time. And after that, my friend from small group, Claire, invited me to go to camp with her that summer. And at camp is where I stepped over the line of faith and I gave my life to Jesus. And a month after that, in August, is whenever I was baptized here at church.
Awesome. I love how so much of your story of discovering faith in Jesus and making that decision is about both learning who God is and how much he loves you and the truth of who he is from the Bible, but also about how God's people were pouring into you and investing in you and encouraging you to take those next steps. So speaking of next steps, you stepped over the line of faith, you got baptized. So what happened next in life where you really felt like you were growing in your faith?
Yeah, so actually a week after I was baptized was whenever we went back to school. So my eighth grade year, I started back at small group, and I committed to showing up to small group every week, and I really became a leader in my small group and just somebody who was very vocal and was willing to help everybody else come to know Jesus as well. And then kind of my eighth grade year became very difficult as far as reflecting Jesus. I hadn't really understood that part of my relationship with Jesus yet. And then freshman year rolled around, and God really just gave me the strength to be bold and to live a life for him and not really care about the popularity I wanted in high school. Like, that wasn't an issue for me anymore. That wasn't something I worried about, you know. Kind of that attention changed again to where my time and just my complete attention in school and out of school became just following Jesus and reflecting him. Then my sophomore year came around, and I really was just starting to grow this wisdom of God, and I was just able to really talk to my friends about Jesus and help a lot of them who were struggling, and it was just kind of a full circle moment as far as my sister had done this for me, and now I got to do this for my friends. And then summer came, and I was able to lead a group of junior high girls and do the same for them and share the wisdom that God had given me through my story and just be able to share with them just the love that I had found of Jesus and everything. And so it was really awesome to just grow in these last couple of years, all starting from that point.
And I like what I'm kind of hearing you say is like growing in your faith is happening at the same time that you're also guiding others to take their next steps. Like you said, come full circle, which is great because that's what we're talking about this morning. You know, you went from being the one who was learning about Jesus, and you said it. You said, I wanted to do the same thing for others that was done for me, and you started guiding others in their next steps and trying to teach them about it. And I also love what I heard you say about how a lot of growing in your faith was about giving Jesus control over different parts of your life to where you were really reflecting him. So that's so awesome. You got anything else to add before we go?
Just that the love of Jesus is just something I really found through all the trials I went through. Mm-hmm. And how thankful I am that I went through them. Like, even today I'm in this room, and this is actually the same place that I said goodbye to my niece. This was where her funeral was. And just, this is a complete full circle moment for me, getting to speak about those trials and to be grateful for those trials and to feel blessed that I went through those things in the same place where was once a very, very dark place of grief for me.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Tori. Thanks for sharing and willing to be vulnerable and teach us what you've learned.
Thank you.
Man, there's so much wisdom in that story, but as we talk about circles and these full circle moments, a couple weeks ago, I had a kind of a full circle moment or something that I dreamed about as a parent really kind of come to fruition. And so it was really fun. A couple weeks ago, if you know me, if you've met me, this will be no surprise to you, but like I love to hunt and fish. And so that's something that I have dreamed about since the moment that I knew I was going to be a parent, since we fostered our first kids. And then became a parents of our own. When all this happened, the thing that I dreamed about, one of the things I dreamed about a ton, is passing hunting and fishing on to my kids. Like it's something that it's memories that I have that with my family, with friends growing up that are just I cherish. And it's something that really, honestly, it's like, man, I've been ready for this phase for like a long time. And I love the baby phase, and I realize like I know I need to savor that because it'll be gone. And I'm watching it from my eyes with our 7-month-old, just like growing like crazy. But I've really loved this phase of like 3, 4, 5, 6 when I get to begin to start passing some of these things on. And my son's been hunting or fishing for a couple of years now, but it's like getting to the point where it's like, man, when can I start him, you know, start shooting and just going with me and all that stuff. And we're still far out from him actually shooting and all that stuff and hunting completely. But it's this process is starting. And it was really exciting this past, or a couple weeks ago, we finally made the decision. It's like, okay, let's get him his first BB gun. And I remember, like, the day I got my first BB gun vividly. And it's just such so cool deal. And so I ordered it, and really, it was something that I figured he would be really excited about. But, man, when I opened the box up, it was like, man, I just got so giddy. I mean, it was like a kid on Christmas morning again. Some of you are probably laughing because it's like, yeah, it's like a $30 BB gun. Like, why are you so excited about this? But I opened the box and I just remembered all of these memories that I had growing up with brothers and friends and all this stuff. And I really did not think I would be as excited as I was to do this, but it was really all about these memories that I knew was going to happen. And it was a point in my life where something was coming full circle. And like I knew in 25 years or so, or whatever the case may be, at some point I'll get to watch that circle start again with grandkids. And some of you have seen that too. And so when we talk about and think about life, it really is life is about circles. Like there's these circles or cycles that happen. And for her, that full circle moment came 3.5 years ago or whenever it was. And these circles or phases, these cycles of our life have different just different kind of links. Some of them take a full lifetime to happen, like, and some of them are not as easy or as fun. Some of them are hard. Some of you are there now. I'm watching my parents now care for their parents, and it's a full circle moment that's difficult. But if we're going to be honest this morning, the reality is that our life, there's moments in our life, there's pieces of our life, there's things of our life that come full circle. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Our lives have circles, and really, we want to take this time in our series to talk about our relationship with Jesus and others in our church, our relationship with our spouse, and kind of how these circles of influence also that we have in our life. But this week, we really want to start with talking about when your relationship with Christ comes full circle. And it's not only something that does, it's something that should come full circle. But before we get there, I want to kind of drill down on this idea of life circles or circle of life. If you hear that, I bet you think about one thing probably that comes to mind. So is that what came to your mind when you heard that? Maybe so, maybe not. I haven't even seen the movie completely, and that's what came to my mind. Like, it's just a funny deal, but when I saw Circle of Life, I thought, man, I just see that scene. But it's this scene where they're lifting, I don't even know his name up, but lifting the little lion cub up, Simba. Okay, good. So when they're lifting Simba up, it's this kind of moment of passage, this rite of passage where this new generation is coming in. What we see about that circle of life and what that movie tells us all about is this circle of life that keeps on going. There's new generations that come in, and it's a really good illustration for us to think about at this point. But there's also some dark points in that too, where at this end of the circle, there's death that happens. Kind of a dark thing to think about. It's like, I don't know that we really want to think about that a lot. But these circles in our life mean a lot of different things. And I remember growing up, I grew up in East Texas, and I really didn't ever talk to someone who believed differently or had a different religious belief than me until I got to college. And I met a couple guys who were Buddhists. And if you don't know a lot about Buddhism, really kind of the main premise of their belief is that they go through these cycles of life, different existences here on earth. And depending on whatever happened in your last kind of cycle of life here on earth will determine what happens at your next one. And it's a point where, like, if I don't do good here, then my next cycle of life on earth is going to be worse than this one. And I just remember thinking about that, hearing that in college and thinking about that. And it was like, man, that is such a sad and just hopeless place to be. Like, I talked to a guy at one point, and his whole hope was just to get to a place of nirvana where he didn't have to pass through these cycles anymore, and he could kind of control a little bit more of his destiny. Something that he could hope for was that. But as I looked at his life, it was like, man, based on what you believe the cycles of your life were, these things just keep getting worse. And that was a hard thing to deal with, and when we think about these circles of life, it was like in that moment it hit me, man, this whole deal about my relationship with Jesus has got to come full circle. Because these circles of life that we have, a lot of times, if we don't have Christ, there's no hope in them. And so what we're talking about this morning is that our relationship with Jesus in our lives has to come full circle. Like, it has to come full circle. It needs to come full circle. It's our purpose. And if we're honest this morning as Christ followers, and like I'm in this boat too, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we're more interested in seeing other things come full circle that don't matter for eternity than we are our relationship with Christ. And again, like I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking with you. Like I'm included in that. We as Christ followers a lot of times can get more excited about other things that don't really matter. Go back to the example I shared this morning about this moment of like coming full circle with my son. Like I've been pumped for years about doing this. Like it is so exciting. And it was funny because like he didn't really kind of grasp the concept of this BB gun. It was like I was way more excited than he was. Like and he was excited about it. He was like, man, this is something that I am excited about. But in that moment, it was kind of like the Lord just hit me. Like, man, when was the last time you got this excited about your relationship with Christ coming full circle in your life? That's an important question for us to ask. That's an important thing for us to think about. And so as we talk about this morning, I want this question to kind of be in your minds. Like, how do I, and I'll ask this to myself, how do I get as excited about seeing my relationship with Christ come full circle, leading others to step over the line of faith in him, leading others to know what I know as I am about teaching my kids to hunt and fish? For you, it may not be that, but fill in the blank. How do I get as excited about seeing my life come full circle as I am about these other things, these passions, these hobbies, these different things that I do in my life? And that's a pretty hard question to ask this morning, but it's something that I think we all need to ask. I think it's something that we all need to talk about and think through and look at. Because if we look, this circle of life, like these cycles are going to come full circle. These things are going to come full circle. But the thing that matters the most is what we do with our relationship with Christ. So how does your relationship with Christ come full circle? Like I said before, I was probably more excited about my son getting the BB gun than he was. Like I was more excited because I knew all of the stuff that this would mean. I knew all the memories that he would likely have with this. I knew all the things that would happen because I had them. And so I shared this with him out of my excitement. Like I was so excited of what would happen and the memories that he would have. Like I shared this with him, and it's the same way with our relationship with Christ too, or it should be the same way with our relationship with Christ too. Like when you discover who Jesus is, when you discover what that means, then we should share out of our excitement, out of our excitement for what Jesus has done. And earlier this year, we revealed this disciple-making pathway, and we kind of put three phases in it, in this pathway: discover, develop, and deploy. And so out of these three phases, what we see is the first phase is the discover phase. It says it's this moment where we guide you. It's where we help you as a church, as Christ followers, understand what it means to be a disciple. And realize that it's not a call to more effort, more trying to be good or better, or all this stuff. It's a call to believe in what Jesus has done and accept his will for your life. One of my favorite verses is in Romans 5, 6 through 8. It's in the New Testament. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there this morning. It's about 3/4 of the way through your Bible, right after the book of Acts. But it says this in verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so what we talk about in this first phase is to discover what the truth of what Jesus has done. And if we're being real this morning, I think when we're trying to answer that question, how do we get just as excited about our relationship with Christ coming full circle? I think part of it is discovering this and continuing to rediscover this in our lives. Like, I need to be reminded of this pretty consistently, that Jesus, while I was still a sinner, Jesus died for us. He died for me, and that gives me the ability to have a relationship with him and experience eternity with him, the rest of the creation in existence with God. And this is a huge thing. And when you discover this, what we talked about is that this changes you. This really impacts you. The discovery of something good should and will lead to you developing your knowledge of it, developing what you know of it more. Like I was in, when I was in preschool, we spent tons of days, and part of my love for hunting and fishing outdoors was formed when I was in preschool. We spent days in the afternoons with my grandpa, and we would always go fishing. And I want to show you a picture. Like, this fish changed it all. And I never forget, I'll never forget that moment, which, like, I love just, I mean, you can tell I grew up in East Texas by that picture. But I remember I caught that fish, and it was the biggest one I'd ever caught, and we caught small ones before, but I carried it around in a bucket for like 2 or 3 hours. I'm pretty sure we ate it. I don't know why. But I was so proud of the fish. Like, it was something that I was going to show people. And from that moment, I was literally hooked. Like, not physically, but literally, I was hooked on this. I have been hooked before. Thankfully, I still have all my fingers and ears and all that stuff. But I was hooked. And in that moment, I found something good that I loved, and all my energy went to that. Every single chance I got was watching fishing shows on TV, and I remember watching all that stuff. And every bit of the money that I made that my parents would let me spend, which was probably a good thing because I would have spent all my money on fishing stuff. Like everything, like all my energy was focused on fishing and learning about this and buying these things. And so when the discovery of something good leads us to develop in it more. And so develop, and the next thing we see in your life in this phase is develop in the growth and understanding of what Jesus has done for you and what it means for your life. Like how do we get just as excited about this as we are about other things? Develop in your relationship with God. Understand what Jesus has done for you, but not only stop there. We describe this second phase as the develop phase of our disciple-making pathway. And really, this is all about growing in knowledge. This is a point where you guide you, and as you begin to do that, then you'll become more and more equipped in knowledge and trust and faith. And this beginning of the summer in May, we actually launched a class to help you do that called Developing Your Faith in Jesus. And today we're launching a class for the third stage, which is the deploy phase, to help you deploy your faith in Jesus. And it, like the first class, it's a four-part video series, and it really will help you understand what it looks like to deploy your life, but also how you get there. And it'll equip you with some resources like videos and books and podcasts to help you with all of that. You can access these in the QR code in the seat behind you or in your program. But we'd love for you to go check that out. But as we talk about this, we really want to focus in on this deploy phase. Like the point where what we saw in Tori's life, where she began to lead others and wanting to do what had been done for her. This is where you as a Christ follower have discovered what Jesus has done. You're developing in your faith. And the result of that process is you begin to guide others for discovering it for themselves. And this is really the purpose of why we are here. And so when you begin to discover this, go back to that story. It's funny, like I discovered this. I knew about the memories and just how good it was for me to have all these memories of hunting and fishing. And I didn't have to wait for my son to go, okay, Dad, I think it's time for me to get a BB gun. Like, I didn't have to wait for him to discover that. It was something that, just because I was so excited about it, because I knew the value of it, for me personally, it was like, okay, I'm going to introduce this to you. And I think another kind of real moment, it's funny, this week, or in writing this message, I had a lot of these, like, God moments where, you know, typically you prepare stuff, and it's like, no, God's going, hey, this is you here. Like, pay attention, Michael, as you're writing this, pay attention. This was another one of those moments, like as I thought about this, it was like, man, he didn't even need to come for me. I just knew what he needed before he even knew he needed himself. Like, and he's still not completely bought in. He still doesn't completely understand all of this stuff. And I, because of my excitement and the value I placed on it, I shared it with him. And this too should be how our relationship with Jesus is. But if I'm honest with myself, and I think if we're honest this morning, that's not that way all the time. Like, I think a lot of times we've rolled out this Pray for One campaign where we ask you to pray for one interaction with someone each day where you may get to share the opportunity or share Christ with them or just love on them in a different way or whatever it may be. Like, pray for one interaction each day. And I think a lot of times I do that, but I always say, God, just send me somebody today. You know, send me somebody. Put somebody in my life. Get them to ask questions, whatever the case may be. And as I wait for that, it's like I'm typically waiting for somebody to come up and then just ask me, like, oh, how do I know about Jesus? It's like, that's pretty easy to do in that moment because it's there. But out of, I think a lot of times what God says is, no, he's waiting on me to initiate these conversations. He's waiting on me to out of my excitement and what I know to be true about my relationship with Christ, to go and pour into other people. And so this is what his plan is with us as Christ followers too. It's his plan for our faith to come full circle. And we have to be proactive in sharing Christ with others. Like, don't just wait for them to come to you. That was something I had to learn this week. Like, be proactive in this. Don't just wait for them to come to you. The deploy phase is really practical and applicable. It's really where the rubber meets the road. But I think all of this goes back to the why. Why? And when we ask that question initially, how do we get excited or as excited about sharing our faith with Christ as we are about these other things that are important in our life, the relationships that we have, the people that we love? How do we get as excited about this? I think we've all got to go back to the why. And there's a really good discussion on this. I want you to take a look at this video.
A lot of people, when they think of the phrase, how do I know, they always want to put the what behind it. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The question that you really should ask is, how do I know why I'm here? Because when you know your why, your what becomes more clear and more impactful. If you know, like for instance, people know that I do comedy, but that's what I do. My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. So I can do comedy, I can write books, I can be in a movie, because all of it is motivated by my why. In fact, I have a new web series out called Michael Jr. Break Time. We probably just did the sixth episode. It's on YouTube. So every single Wednesday at 3:00, we drop a new episode on YouTube of Michael Jr. Break Time. What it is it's me. I travel around the country and I do stand-up comedy, in case you didn't know. And in the middle of my comedy set sometime, I'll stop and just talk to my audience. And we've been filming this, and it's you know, it's pretty cool. So we're in Winston-Salem. I'm going to show you a clip from Winston-Salem. And I'm just talking to this guy in the audience, and he tells me that he's a musical instructor at a school. So I was like, all right, you're a musical instructor. You know, can you sing? Let me hear you sing a song. So this is what happened at the last episode of Michael Jr.'s Break Time. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, once you give me the version, is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I was lost, but now, right now I'm found.
Okay, here's what I want you to catch. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
So I love that video. Like, I've shown that video tons of times. I've probably watched it 100 times, and I still, every time I see that video, I just smile. Why? And this is what I wanted, or what I typically see in this video, and another thing I wanted you to catch, is the difference of the two times he's saying. One time, if you looked at the people around him, like, it was good, and they were there, but when he sang with purpose, when he sang with the why, man, it impacted everyone around him. It impacts you when you watch the video, likely, and if you don't, I mean, let's just check your pulse, right? But it's a great illustration and a great example of what our lives, or the difference that our lives make when we're living through a purpose. Like, when we're living through a purpose, when we know why we do something, it is so much more, or our lives are so much more impactful, our lives are so much more purposeful and intentional, and we live in a way that has meaning. And I think when we think about this, and really when we get back to this question of how do I get as excited about sharing Christ with those around me, how do I get as excited about that when I wake up every morning as I am about hunting or fishing or whatever it may be for you? Like, how do we get as excited about this? What is your why? Discover that. Lean into that. It was interesting. I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago, and As we were kind of meeting, he made a comment. He said, okay, tell me why you get up in the morning. What is the thing of your life that really, you know, drives you? It's like, well, I get up because my kids are typically up pretty early, right? That drives me. That wakes me up. It's like, no. What is the thing of your life that you're like, man, if you look back, it's maybe not the thing you find all along or every day, but what is the thing that if you would say, man, what the main deal of your life, what's the reason you exist? Kind of thought for a second, and it's something, like, I'm a pastor, so it probably seems like a pretty churchy answer, but when I really think about it, it's like, man, the reason that I wake up in the morning is because I realize that there's people around me. There's people around me who will wake up today and maybe face an eternity without Christ. Like, that's the reality of the world that we live in. Like, there are people that I come in contact with every day, and I don't always think about this. Like, I don't always think about that, but then he stopped me in that moment and said, okay, that's your why. That's your calling. And that's the thing you need to keep at the center of your life. It was a point where maybe I'd just been distracted by some things. And in that moment, what he said is, that is your why. Here's reality. This is our why. Like, this is our why as Christ followers, and we see that very clearly in the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus is sharing with his disciples at the end of his life, after he's ready or about to go back to heaven. He says in verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Not only this is our purpose, this is our command, this is our why. So how do we get excited about this? We never lose sight of the why. Well, what does that look like? What is our lives? What impact do we have when we live this out? And I love this in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, the same book, but towards the beginning. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, or his public ministry on earth, and he's giving a message called the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking a lot about what it looks like to live as Christ followers and what it will look like in your life. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, he says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." What Jesus is describing there is salt. And in that day, it would have been something that would have made a lot of sense to them because salt was something that was a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration, so that's how they preserved meat. And so what he's saying is you as Christ followers are preservers of the gospel. You are preservers of the love and the grace that I've shown to you. Jesus is saying, as Christ followers, this is part of our purpose, to preserve the gospel, to preserve his love, to preserve his grace and his cares. Our lives are supposed to reflect this true love of Jesus, and we're supposed to preserve that. We're supposed to keep that from getting watered down or confused with something else. But then in verse 14, he says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So Jesus gives two examples here. One is salt, one is light. And for us, light is something that honestly, like I and we, I think, can take I don't know what I'm trying to say, but not take advantage of, but we can take for granted. There we go. Sometimes words are hard. I don't know why, but it's like, it's spinning, but it's not going anywhere, you know? So we can take that for granted at times because light is something we have ample access to. We flip a switch and lights are on. The streets are lit because there's street lights. All of this stuff. In that day, this wouldn't have been what they would have pictured. Like a light on top of a hill, it was dark at night. Most of the time people went to sleep when the sun went down because that was their light. And so as he's talking about this, he's talking about lighting a room. And I didn't really have a good concept for this until like the snowpocalypse, icepocalypse, whatever you want to call it, 2021, when we thought 2020 was over, and then God said, "No, wait, hold on, there's more." Like this moment where we were in, you know, it was dark, it was at night, you couldn't see anything because all the power was out. And in that moment, like all of us were sleeping in the same room, just with one heater, trying to stay warm. And our daughter was just a couple weeks old or 3 weeks old, however old she was. And I remember changing her diaper and a cell phone light. It was like enough for us to just turn an iPhone light on and set it on the bed, and it gave us enough light to see to change her diaper. As I thought about that, and I thought about this story, it's a verse that I've read quite a bit. Man, that's really what our lives can be. Like, and that's what our lives should be. Like this light that gives just enough to put in the middle of the night to change a baby's diaper. Like our lives should be shining, though they may seem dim in darkness that we see all around us. Our lives can make a big impact. Though your life may seem small, it can make a big impact. And living deployed in Christ is all about letting our lives be salt and light, following the Great Commission. But I think I want to end just in the same way that I asked you this question this morning. Man, how in the world do you get as excited about sharing your faith, seeing your faith come full circle as you do those other things? Discover what Jesus has done for you. And if you're not a Christ follower this morning, I would invite you to push in, ask someone who is, get to know who Jesus is and what he's done for you, but then also to begin to develop in that. Once you've discovered something good, develop in that. And then the other thing that I think we really need to get passionate about as a church and as people, myself included, is okay, now how do we lead others in that way? To not just wait for those to come to us, but to go for that. And I think it's all about where we find our why in. Like, what is your why this morning? And I think if there's anything I'd like to do is like a similar deal in the conversation that I had with a friend a few weeks ago. What is your purpose? And let's put that at the center of our lives. Because what was the truth is, the reality of our lives, the reality of our purpose, and what God's created us for, is we were not just meant to pass on fun traditions as a family. All that stuff is great. Like, our lives as Christ followers were meant to come full circle. And if it's not going to come full circle in us, then who will? Let's pray. God, we come now, and Lord, we are just so grateful for all that you've done for us. God, we're so grateful for just your son and what that means. And God, I pray if we've discovered that, that we would be serious about developing our faith, that we'd be serious about learning more about who you are and what you've done. But God, I also pray that it just wouldn't stop there. I think we spend a ton of time as Christ followers just learning, listening to podcasts, reading books, potentially even reading our Bible, all of these things. We spend a ton of this time learning. I think it's really hard for us to get to this deploy phase. I know it's hard for me at times. But God, I pray that you just really remind us of our why, that we would find purpose and just passion in that, in what you've done for us and who you are for our lives. And God, as we do this, as we seek this out and find this out, I just pray that we would be impacted by that and that we would realize the purposes you've created us for. That would inspire us this week. And as we go to school or back to work or whatever we may be doing, I pray that you just help us remind us of that. God, we love you and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.